tonight we're going to try something a little different, just to help you get a little clearer on what it is we're doing here. And you know, a lot of you have practiced object-oriented meditation, where you use like the breath as the primary object, and try to stay with that for a while to develop some continuity, and then gradually you start noticing other things in the body and the mind. So we're going to do one kind of meditation this evening, like that, where it's object-oriented, using a primary object like the breath or your posture. And then we'll give you an opportunity to share with each other what that experience was like, what worked or what didn't work with that. And then we'll share some of that in the hall with each other. And then we'll do another shorter sitting. They're about 20 minutes, 25 minutes apiece, where we'll try to be pointing to the awareness practice. So awareness-oriented rather than object-oriented, so that you can begin to see, oh yeah, these are different in this way. And hopefully that'll be helpful, and you'll have a chance to debrief with each other about that. And hopefully it'll be perfectly clear thereafter. So how many are here for the first time tonight? There's a couple of people here for this. Okay. And do the rest of you check to see that your email address is correct on the list over there? Just check to make sure it's correct. Okay, so Vince is going to do the first sit.
So we'll begin the sitting by finding a posture that is both relaxed yet allows for alertness. Feeling the body in the sitting posture. Bringing your attention to your buttocks, making contact with the cushion or the chair. Feeling your arms hanging from your shoulders. Sitting atop your neck. Notice if there's any holding around the eyes or the jaw. If you can, just relax those areas. Feeling the body sitting. Directing the attention to the breath. You may feel the sensations most prominently in the stomach or at the tip of the nostrils. Whichever you feel, whichever area where you feel the breath most prominently, let the attention rest there. If your attention is on the abdomen, feeling the sensation of the breath rising as you breathe in, expanding, and contracting and relaxing as the exhale occurs. If your attention is at the nose, feeling the air passing by the tip of the nostril as you breathe in, and the sensations as the air leaves on the exhale. Remaining continuous with the awareness resting where the sensations of the breath are coming and going. No need to control the breath. Just allow it to come and go as it's naturally occurring. You may notice the mind wanders off into thinking, planning, remembering, judging, fantasizing. It wanders away from the sensations of the breath. When this occurs, it's fine. Just reestablish the attention onto the sensations of the rising and falling. if there are other prominent sensations of comfort or discomfort arising elsewhere in the body that grab your attention, such as itching, tingling, tightness, hardness, lightness, allow the attention to go to that object. And see what happens to it as you become aware of it. Does it change? Does it get stronger? Does it diminish or change location? Slightly watching. Sensation is no longer prominent, you can always return to the breath. So, Steve and I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to speak with one another, just to share, you know, what that was like in groups of two or three. So if you could, you know, find a small group of two or three, just to share, you know, how that was for you, what might have been challenging or beneficial, or just generally what you noticed, you know, with that style of practice. So we'll spend about 15 minutes or so. I don't have time to share it, so. Yeah.
Was beneficial, but what was not? Or how was it? The sitting. Yeah.
Some things I noticed about focusing on the breath particularly was that it was very easy, for instance, to delineate when I wasn't paying attention to the breath and when I was.
Yes.
Because, like, very clear physical sensation, very different experience than being lost in thought and, or just thinking in general, as opposed to me struggling sometimes in the last weeks when trying to be aware of my thoughts and then not really being sure if I'm being aware of them or thinking them. It's a different sense or different experience than just knowing you're aware of your breath. It's just
right.
A very different object.
Right. So the clarity of knowing you're either doing it right or you're doing it wrong. Right? Or something.
Yeah.
You're either doing it or not.
Yeah.
That is good feedback. That is good feedback. Yeah. It's good to know. So that is the benefit. That's one of the benefits of having an object-oriented practice, or a primary object to pay attention to. You're either on or not. And did you notice when you weren't on, how long did it take you to notice, or what were you noticing other than that, other than the breath?
Can I tack
yeah.
on a,
yeah, sure.
an observation to that? In that, on the flip side, I found that when I did notice that I wasn't paying attention to my breath, we talked about it a feeling a little bit more like a job that I had to do to switch over. Like, oh, I'm not doing my job of paying attention to the breath. And for me, there wasn't as much of a feeling of, okay, I'm back, I'm okay, what's going on? It was more of like, oh, I stopped paying attention to the breath, okay, I'm back on the breath. It was more, it's a little bit, there's less of a feeling of like levity or like that breath of fresh air when you come back, and more of like, oh, I'm not doing that thing I'm supposed to be doing. And then just because it's so clear what you're supposed to do, and when you're paying attention to breath, just switching right over and not kind of being like, oh, hey, good, I'm back. So that was, on the flip side, it seemed there was a little less space when I did come back.
So there's a little critical judgment in there that just said, get back there. Right. Or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. Was that a familiar, why do we do that? It's universal. I know the answer to that question. It's universal. We do that. Any other observations in your practice?
Yeah. I question that one. I struggled to stay on the breath as well, and I felt like I was, definitely it was a job. Like I was grasping, really trying, and it wasn't until towards the end of it, and I sort of really got into breathing. And rather than trying to focus, trying to be aware by breathing, I really just tried to breathe. But I felt like I was much more aware of it, much more sort of loose and relaxed. But I'm wondering if if I was maybe directing my breathing and that was sort of not part of the exercise. It was much more like, okay, now I'm really just going to breathe. I'm really going to focus on breathing. And it was sort of a switch of focusing on thinking about breathing or not thinking about breathing. Focusing on being aware of my breath to focusing on breathing myself. I don't know, it's sort of a subtle distinction that I felt like it improved the quality of what I was doing, but I don't know if it was just an easy way out.
So there was some confusion as to whether there was you were trying to control the rhythm of the breath. Is that what you're...
Yeah, I was really, I wasn't, I think I was, okay, let's just, very much get into it and be consciously aware of it, but at the same time I felt like I was much more sort of deeply aware of it at the same time. Rather than trying to just focus on my natural rhythm, I felt like there was much more grasping and trying and sort of struggle there. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I don't know if this will answer your question, but, with object-oriented practice, you may have noticed a lot of my instruction was just around, I started off with kind of the posture and feeling the body and feeling where you're sitting. And especially, it's Wednesday night, I imagine a lot of our kind of awareness isn't so sharp right now. And so, it may be difficult at times to actually track the sensations because they may be, just not as prominent, or the breath is really soft, it's not necessarily deep and strong, and over the course of a sit, sometimes it will become less prominent, and it's hard to kind of notice those sensations of the rising and the falling. If it sounds like you picked up that it was difficult for you to sustain your attention on the breath because it wasn't that strong, right? And sometimes it can be helpful just to move the awareness to another point in the body that is prominent and can be known quite easily. And you can just anchor your attention on that part of the body, and then you could always check back in with the breath at a later point. And so you can technically use different anchors throughout the body. It doesn't just have to be the breath. And it can be especially useful just to start sometimes what is most obvious, what's most easily felt. Yeah. And in general, just letting the breath come and go naturally can bring a certain ease to the practice. Oftentimes I've found that when I'm trying to kind of control or alter the breath, that there's actually some craving going on, or I'm trying to make something happen. And so, by just allowing the breath to come and go on its own naturally, it can bring about a state of ease and relaxation in the mind and the body. experiences you want to share? Either the breath or the not breath. And when Vance was giving the instruction, you can kind of follow it, you know, pay attention to this, okay, pay attention to that, okay, pay attention to this, okay. And then he stopped. Now what? Did you find yourself waiting to be told what to do next? Or did you just kind of keep noticing whatever was going on? Yeah.
Sort of neither. I tracked with you with all the guidance for sure, and then sort of without realizing it until kind of the end, it's almost being lost in not thought. It was, I think if there was a very relaxed. And yes. So there's these two channels of relaxation and focus. It was like the relaxation continued and the focus tapered off. I was at the very end, it was like, oh yeah, breath.
So you said the relaxation continued, but what fell off?
The focus.
The focus fell off. Okay. So you were paying attention to the breath, and then you got very relaxed, and you. It sounds like you kind of stayed with the feeling of being relaxed, you know, which is, in that case, was the most predominant experience. It's like, wow. Okay. So you didn't pay attention to the breath. If you had recognized that, oh, this is really relaxed, you know, then you'd be aware. And that's fine. You don't have to go back to the breath. You could, or you could just stay with, oh, this is what being really relaxed is like. So that you don't lose the thread of awareness. Yeah? Yeah. But at least there was some recognition of that's what's going on, but not until later in the near the end of the sitting. Yeah. Yeah. Focused on the breath, or being focused at work, but not being aware that you're in Seattle, that you're sitting at your desk, or that you're breathing, but you're just focused. What do you actually do to focus? You know, so if we sit down, or you sit down at your desk, or you sit down at your cushion, and what do you do? What does your mind actually do when you focus? It becomes single-minded. How do you do that?
By accident.
By accident. But you've practiced it a lot at work and sitting. So, what is the little encouragement or instruction you give yourself? Okay, now I'm sitting down. Now focus. It's really important to just sit there for a minute. Now if I said, okay, now just attend to the breath. Right? What is it that actually happens in the mind when you do that? Yeah.
One of the things your question brings up for me is what happened in the sitting for me is that I kept saying no.
You kept saying no.
To other things that weren't the breath.
So when you wanted to attend to the breath, other things kept kind of trying to interfere,
yep.
And you just kept saying, no, no, no.
Not that, not now.
Not now, not now.
Yeah.
But did you actually get to the breath?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was like sort of, that's like the first thing that comes to mind to your question, that like,
right.
To focus on one thing, I have to say no to other things.
To everything else.
Yeah.
Okay. So saying yes to the chosen object, like the breath, and no to everything else. Yeah.
For me, it's more like a narrowing, the constricting. It's like a honing in, that microscopic rather than the spacious,
open.
Yeah.
Okay. So a narrowing of the viewfinder, so to speak,
right.
The viewfinder on the mind.
It's like a microscope versus like an eagle soaring.
Right. Okay. So we we remind ourselves of the chosen object. We say no to everything else, and we narrow the range of the viewfinder. Okay? Anything else? What else do you do with it? Yeah.
For me, it's less like saying no, and more like redirecting energy.
Okay.
And sometimes it's a bit more abrupt. If I find that my awareness has been dull for a period of time, it can sometimes be a little bit jarring. But if I'm feeling relatively concentrated, then it kind of reminds me of like flowing motions of something like Aikido or something like that, where the energy was flowing in sort of an unintentional direction, and there's now intentionality that brings the flow back to where it was intended to be in the first place.
So rather than saying no, it feels more like a redirecting of energy for you.
Yeah, the abruptness or the kind of ease with which that occurs, I think, depends on sort of the other conditions of what's occurring at the moment. How much energy has been put in the context of that.
Right, so sometimes it's an easy redirecting of energy, gradual, and sometimes it feels more abrupt, like you just grab your mind and say, over here.
Yeah, not necessarily a forceful way, but sort of like the bum dropping out of the realization of the experience, and it's like, oh yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Okay, I like what you said. You said it's an intentional redirecting of the energy. And I think that's the important point, is that you remember what it is you're trying to do, and you intend, and in that intending, it moves energy in the mind towards, the breath. And I think what you were speaking about, where for the first part of the sitting you were just breathing, or you were trying to be with the breath, you were thinking about the breath, but then at some point you dropped into the breath. It's just like, oh, here I am in it, or participating in it. And I think that's a big difference between thinking about doing it and actually doing it. Because when we hear the instructions, we hear them as thoughts and words, and then we kind of repeat it to ourselves, and it kind of gets you close to the breath, but we're still just thinking about the breath. But when you actually turn your attention energetically, intending to be with the breath, then you actually feel it. You drop into it, in a way. That's an important shift from thinking about the breath to actually being aware of the breath. Yeah. Other? Yeah.
What if the denial artfully and direct your attention and energy instead of just feeling like a
sledging you on like really forceful, and then you can incredibly agonizing and just anything to focus and be that. Can you repeat the question for me in a question I couldn't quite?
What happens if it feels really forced?
Okay. The breath or the awareness of the breath?
Yeah.
Right. I'll let Ben answer that.
my first question is, what is the agony, right? And I think that it's, you know, as I mentioned in sort of the instructions, you know, there is something more dominant begins to come up in the experience. It sounds like agony. I mean, that's a pretty strong experience, right? And so you don't need to, it can actually be unnatural, you know, if something is kind of pounding you over the head, like you said, with a sledgehammer, and yet you're trying to bring your attention to some other object, right, that's not nearly as strong. And so when we talk about agony, you know, I imagine there's some physical sensations that are associated with that felt sense of agony. You know, there's also probably, you know, a series of thoughts and, you know, as I talked about before, mind states. And but for, I'm inclined to say, you know, stay with just the physical sensations of what agony feels like in the body and try to track those. That can become the anchor, so to speak, for you. You know, you don't need to force anything or, you know, try to focus on something else that, you know, is less real, so to speak. Does that make it clarify a bit?
It's usually mental agony instead of physical agony, which is harder to parse and
harder to kind of see
the edges of, or where it came from, or how it's manifesting, and it ends up just being like a whole tenseness in my body. And
One thing. A couple of things come to mind. You know, if it feels so intense that you feel like you just can't be with it, you know, mindfulness isn't strong enough to stay with, you know, what's coming up in the mind and the body. You know, if there's a place, you know, somewhere in your body where it feels kind of pleasurable, or perhaps even, let's just say, it's kind of relatively okay. It's not even necessarily pleasurable, but it feels okay in that part of the body. You can bring your attention there and try to rest it there for a period of time until you can sort of shore up a little bit more, a little bit more momentum, and then you could perhaps come back to the tension in the body or start kind of noticing the thoughts that are arising as well.
So not saying in that situation that maybe...
I didn't hear what you started to say.
You are not saying that in a situation like that it's maybe the wrong time to be sitting, and maybe you should try it another time, but really still work through that. Because that's often a question I have, like, is this a good time for me? Am I wasting 20 minutes and not doing it another time?
I have the sense that if you allow yourself to evaluate, is this a good time to be sitting or not, I think... then you might not sit so much. the mind is very tricky, very, very slippery. So I wouldn't have we might ask ourselves that question, is this a good time to be sitting? But don't listen to the answer. Because any time is a good time to be aware. Okay? So when she felt like she was struggling, she might think, oh, I can't do it now. And you know, it's just too much, you know, for whatever reason, whatever's going on in the mind is just not happy doing it. Then, like Van said, just see if you can just relax the body, just see if you can find some place in the body that's at ease, and let that be what you pay attention to. Because sometimes, just giving ourselves the instruction, pay attention to the breath, it lands on the mind like a clamp. Pay attention to the breath. And sometimes that's too much. But, you know, we started out the sitting, but just settle down, just settle into the body, just feel the body sitting. See if you can do that. If you spend the whole sitting period, 20 minutes, or however long you want to sit, just trying to be relaxed in the body, you'll be very aware. You'll be very aware. You might never get to the breath, but you'll be very aware. So that's okay. Experiences, comments? Yeah.
I had a similar experience to that frustration a couple of days ago. To that frustrating that I climbed down to him a couple of days ago. I was actually at the thing of it in Milan, the West, the introduction meditation, and then we were doing the walking meditation. And I was just having a horrible time with it and felt just miserable and felt like it was so frustrating. So I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I'm getting nothing out of this. And then at that point, I was just like so frustrated and fed up and feeling so bad about how I was doing it, but then also walking around seemingly pleasantly, that I just said, you know, I'm just going to walk and I'm not going to try to do anything. And I'm just going to walk back and forth for the next couple minutes. And it was just like, dropped into it, perfect, you know, 100%, totally aware of what I was doing. And it was like I had to reach a certain point of just like giving up. And, you know, it wasn't like positive relaxation, it was just like giving up that triggered that sort of release of the, that mind
that
was causing you to really struggle with it.
Yeah. It was interesting that you said that, you know, you heard the instructions, you tried to do it, but you just got wound up, really. And it just got you further away from actually being able to be with the walking experience. And only when you finally said, oh, damn, I'm not going to do that, then you just could relax. When the mind gets really tight like that, we hear the instructions, we get tight, we try too hard. Sometimes we try too hard to be continuous or to narrow our focus. It's not so much the focus, it's the trying too hard that really puts the pressure on the mind. And you can't be very aware. And you'll end up being, like you said, frustrated or sense of struggle or just feeling overwhelmed or having a judgment. This is not working. We just get to wits end. At that point, you're right. Take a break. Stop practicing. You know, relax, basically. Relax the mind. We know how to relax the body, but it's harder to relax the mind. And relaxing the mind is to let go of the grip of the instructions. You know, and then, as you found, you could just settle into being with walking, and it's quite easy. May that be so every time. No. These things only work once. And you have to be there for the next one with something new. you can't be too routine about practice. You know, you have to actually be there in the moment for what's going on and let it unfold that way. Even though we have instruction that says, attend to the breath, come back to the breath, notice what's going on. Hold that instruction lightly, not like a perfectionist. Other comments about object-oriented awareness? While you were talking, I was talking to Vance, and I have been doing object-oriented awareness for quite some time. I've been doing awareness-oriented for a number of years. But just while he was offering the instructions for object-oriented, I said, okay, I'll do that. I'll pay attention. I'll really stick with the breath. Now, I've done that for 30 years. I've done breath practice for 30 years, so I know how to do it. It's really nice. It's really nice to have an object you just kind of get to, stick with, stay there with. It's like, it really is calming. It really calms your mind down. I mean, if you can do it. And it's very pleasant to just have your mind secluded from all this chatter and all the memories and all the thoughts and all the judgments and how am I doing and evaluations. Just like, breath, breath, breathing in, breathing out. Yeah. It's very nice. So it's a good practice to know how to do, to be able to calm the mind down by attending to either a chosen object or a single object or at least a clear object. It's really good. Any other comments about that? Yeah.
Could you just say some other areas where that technique would be useful? Then, I mean, to calm the mind. I mean, are there other ways that we could utilize that object meditation technique in our lives?
Well, I think using the breath is always good. You know, it's always good for relaxing the body and relaxing the mind, and for letting go of whatever the mind is obsessed about. Whether it's work-related or emotional or, thinking process of some sort or another. If you remember to just turn to the breath for a while, it won't take long. You know, it takes some continuity, and it takes some of this redirecting of the energy, the intentional redirecting of the energy. And as the young man was saying, not just thinking about the breath, but actually connecting with the breath, the experience, then the mind will calm down. So it's a good stress management tool. And let's face it, we have a lot of stress. We have a lot of busyness. We have a lot of, outside of ourself activity. And so it just brings you back into yourself. And it's quite, you know, if you're attending to physical sensations, I don't mean just the breath, but if you're noticing posture or whatever else it is about the body, if you're noticing body sensations, you're in the present moment. In the present moment. So that's what really helps cut the stressing relationship to mental activity. It's just getting in touch with the body. Yeah,
I think this is kind of a strange image that just came to me, but do you remember those, I think they're called Etch-a-Sketch, mm-hmm. you know, where you kind of use little knobs and you draw a picture, but then when you're done, you kind of shake it up and you get kind of a clear screen again, a clear canvas. I think that, you know, using the breath or coming back to the body, it can be equivalent of, you know, shaking up the Ouija, or not the Ouija, but
the Ouija.
Where did that come from?
What's the Ouija?
We'll talk about this later. Right? So you shape the Etch-a-Sketch, and it's of a similar effect with thought processes in the mind. You know, I've noticed that at times when I'm completely lost in my narrative, and I just come back to the body for a period of time, you know, there's like that gap in the thinking, just by staying with the body, and in that gap there's relief.
Yeah.
Very difficult times with body-centered objects meditation, especially breath. I had a very similar experience to what the lady was sharing. And what was very helpful for me was for a while I had to switch to listening. I had to switch to sound. And I sat with a teacher who discuss that for some people, especially people who may have some sort of body trauma past, that breath and body meditation can be very difficult. And I think that if I hadn't found that out in the beginning, that I don't know if I would accept to it. And I went from sound to my feet, because feet tend to be a pretty safe, for a lot of people, a very safe body part. But I just encourage people that if the breath is very difficult or the body sensation is very difficult, that there are, the practice is really a lot about finding ways to be aware that work for you.
Yeah.
And I just struggled with that so much, so I just wanted to share that for me, sound works really well. And that feeling that you were just saying about how, oh, well, the breath is so relaxing, and that was not true for me. But listening, sound, and if I still use that, if I just use sound as my object, I can feel that same feeling that you were talking about, that kind of whoosh that sort of happens when you come into the present moment.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me that the breath isn't always a safe or neutral place for people, whether it's the abdomen or the nostrils or wherever. And so, while we say the breath, really what we mean is some physical sensations or some sense contact. And in your case, you used hearing or sounds, and it provided you the same continuity and the direct experience, and it was safe and it was more relaxing, I guess you'd say. So really what we mean is to say is find a neutral experience. You know, and if it's hearing, fine. If it's the breath, fine. If it's not the breath in the belly, but the breath at the nostrils, fine. Or if it's a sensation somewhere else in the body, fine. There was a teacher in Thailand, and he would just have you hold your hand out at a right angle to your torso, and just slowly lift it and lower it. Just lift it, lower it. You just had to feel, just had to know that lifting feels like this, lowering feels like that. It's just, you know, it's mechanical. It seems mechanical. But it's a tangible experience. It's very tangible. You can really feel it. And that's what is the single object, so to speak, that you kind of set your mind to so that it keeps everything else out of the way. Energetically, it keeps other things from getting into the mind. Yeah. So whatever works for you, really, whether it's the breath or hearing or sensation somewhere else in the body, or even a mechanical, thing like lifting and lowering your hand. Any other comments? It's really good. You know, the Buddha taught, and many, many different traditions teach, that kind of object-oriented practice, whether it's visualizations or mantras like sounds or random sounds like external sounds, but some tangible sensation. I noticed during that sitting that there's a pretty strong ambient odor in the room tonight. I don't know if the room has been cleaned or something. Isn't there? There was me, I noticed it. And that's what I was noticing a lot. Just like, oh, wow. Smelling. But that's just another sense object to be aware of with some continuity. So we want to do another sitting. Now I'm going to tell you about it a little bit. In the last sitting, we were being aware by directing our attention to the breath or sounds or some other physical sensation. But throughout that sitting, what we were developing was the recognition of the awareness. Because, like Ben said, he knew when he was on the breath. And when he wasn't, and came to and recognized that, then he knew that. So what we're going to do this time is recognize the awareness that's knowing moment to moment. Now what you're knowing, it can be the breath, it can be sounds, it can be sensations, it can be the noise outside, it can be noise in the room. It doesn't matter. But what we want to try to do is recognize that the mind is working to know something every moment. Now, it might feel a lot more scattered, like you hear the plane, you get the train, you hear somebody cough, you hear other sounds, or you feel sensations, and you have thoughts, and you might feel like there's a lot going on. But just settle back into awareness as the, if you want to call it, the primary object. Rather than the breath being the primary object, let the recognition of, oh, the mind is knowing this. Let that be the object, if you will. Okay? So, again, just settle into, let the body come to its natural stillness. Just take a moment to acknowledge how you experience the environment. There's some sounds being heard. So we could say, oh, the mind is knowing sounds, or sounds are being known. And as the body comes to a natural stillness, we can say, oh, stillness is being known. There's that sound again, being known. And as I point to different experiences, the sound of my voice is being known. When sounds are predominant, they kind of take over. But the mind is knowing them. And as we just settle into the stillness of the sitting posture, maybe you'll recognize, oh, the breath is still happening by itself. And sometimes that's what's being known. So there's an awareness of breathing in, or breathing out is being known. Sometimes when it's quiet like this, it's like stillness or silence is being known. Quite naturally, when distinctive sounds occur, they're known quite spontaneously, automatically. Recognize the awareness of hearing. Recognize the awareness of sitting. Let your attention be very open and receptive to any experience, whether it's in the room or in the body or in the mind. Recognize that knowing is happening moment after moment. In this practice, we don't have to turn our attention to anything in particular. We don't have to focus. We don't have to say no to anything. We just recognize, oh, there's the knowing of that. When there's some thinking going on in the mind, you just recognize that, oh, there's an awareness of thinking. In this case, we don't have to decide what to attend to. We just let the mind be relaxed, noticing whatever it does. Sensations, sounds, thoughts, odors, internal or external, emotions, moods. We don't have to hurry or rush to catch up or to keep up. You stay still, recognizing that there's an ongoing continuity of awareness. there's the sound, and there's the knowing of it. There's sitting, and the knowing of it. Breathing, and the knowing of it. Recognize this knowing. There's awareness and the knowing of it. If you get lost in thoughts for a while, or you're spaced out, or you forget, just notice that at some point, awareness is happening again, automatically. Just notice this awareness that happens automatically. we're not doing nothing. We're recognizing awareness. We're recognizing the knowing activity of mind, moment by moment. Better? That's okay. A little higher. What's your experience with the awareness-oriented practice? Yeah.
I like the style and have appreciated it. I was just going to say that tonight I'm pretty tired. And I think at the start of the meditation, I was trying to sort of maintain continuity of just like being aware of being tired and just kind of pay attention to the part of me that was tired versus the part of me that was like awake and could recognize that I was tired. And towards the end, I think my concentration got tired and I just felt tired. and it was hard to tease apart like resistance to being tired and you know, just actually being tired it felt like I'd only like maintain the effort for a while before it kind of failed out.
Right. So what you said was that you like that kind of awareness practice, but today you're tired. And so you could be aware of being tired for a while, but then eventually tiredness just took over.
Right.
I got a question for you. You know, when you stop being aware of tired and you were just tired, right, at the end, what were you aware of?
I think sort of kind of the sensation of like wanting to nod off or wishing I wasn't tired or I think it was something along those lines.
So there was some mental activity that you were aware of. You were aware. You didn't like what you were aware of. the feeling of tiredness, it just kind of, ring the bell, I want to just take a nap, whatever. We know that, we're aware that that's what's going on. We just don't like it. It's not, we don't think it's not supposed to be happening that way. And so we dismiss it. But really, what I want to encourage you is to recognize, well, that's what you're aware of. And it's okay to be aware of that. I don't like this. I want to just fall asleep. Okay, fine. You're aware of that. You're aware of that. Yeah, it's okay. Other pros or cons, yays or nays? Yeah. So there's more of a flow of experience that you're aware of rather than this, either yes or either on the breath or off. It's more like the breath would come in and something else would come in and you'd be aware of this, you'd be aware of that. But there was seemed to be an ongoing continuity to the awareness itself. And different things appeared in that awareness. Is that how awareness is? Is awareness like the room? It's like a big sphere around the head somewhere. And it's just kind of, there's this thing, kind of this big globe of awareness around here, and just stuff kind of floats in and floats out. Was it kind of like that? I know, sometimes that's what it's like. I know. It's not always like that.
So it was sort of a question that I was thinking about when I was focusing on the sound, but what if, and this didn't happen here, but what if there were like a lot of sounds going on?
Yes.
Like 20 of them or 40 of them. And so if you try and just be aware of all the sounds around you, like does that take away from the meditation is supposed to be, or the mindfulness is supposed to be able to focus, right? So how do you just focus on one of the sounds, or do you still keep sort of the?
So the question is, so say there's like 20 sounds happening,
right?
And you know, and you said, well, meditation is about focusing, right? Well, I want to shift your understanding about that a little bit. I don't know if it's focusing so much as being aware. And if we can be aware of something that we're focused on, like the breath or a sound, we can be focused that way. But it's not the focus that is really the goal. It's awareness. So, do you ever listen to rock music? Or do you ever listen to a symphony? Yeah? You know, in a symphony, there's more than 20 sounds. And yet, it's not a problem, is it? To just lay there on the floor, put your headphones on, and whether it's symphony or, you know, some rock group, and you can hear all the music. You can hear it all, right? You don't have to focus on just one guitar, or you don't have to focus on just the bass guitar. You can if you want to, and you can follow that. Or you can just listen to the kind of the amalgam, the whole mix of all those sounds as just the sound. But it's not the sound that's important, or whether it's one guitar, two guitars, three guitars, two sounds, one drum, or whatever. It's not that so much as, is there a knowing that you're hearing? That's the awareness part. Isn't it amazing how you can, you know, when you want to listen to music, you know, you don't, if you try hard to listen to music, you know, like lean forward into it, it doesn't help your hearing at all, right? But actually, if you relax and let it all come to you, you can hear it better. Right? Let your meditation be like that, rather than trying to go out there and get the meditation, get the object, or get the awareness, or get it, like, you're going to do something in order to make awareness happen, make mindfulness happen. Relax. Let awareness come to you. Let the mind be very receptive. And you'll see how, when you were talking about, last time you were talking about, stopping thinking about the breath and just breathing with awareness, like that. If we stop trying so hard, we'll see that we're quite naturally aware. But you have to remember to look for it. Yeah.
Isn't it important to evaluate awareness or knowing?
Is it important to evaluate awareness and knowing?
And how would you do that without thinking?
And how would you do that without thinking?
Yeah.
Well, you answered your own question. When you say, is it important to evaluate, what do you mean by that?
Is it important to judge the quality of your awareness, or your continuity in awareness, or, like, you know, when we're asked to talk about how was that, it's really sort of an evaluation of the meditation, but I don't know if that makes sense.
Is it evaluation, or is it just an acknowledgement? You know, of like, well, it was like this, and this. You're not saying, this was good, this was bad, I didn't like that, I'm not sure about this, and that might have been okay. We're just saying it's like this. You know, when the train comes in to the station behind us, you know, we can report it as, you know, you hear it far away, and it sounds like this, you hear it when it gets close, it sounds like that. You know, it lasts for about, you know, 10 seconds, and then it kind of goes, and it's off and gone, and it's perfectly still again. In that recounting of the way it was experienced, there's no evaluation of it. It's, that was good, that was bad, I like this, I don't like that. You know, my awareness was really good and sharp and clear. It's just... in, it's like that, you hear this little ding 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 bell going on in the background, far away somewhere, someplace, and then it goes off, right? sometimes we're aware that, oh yeah, we've been continuous. Sometimes we're aware that we haven't been continuous. Okay. We don't need to evaluate it really. Just notice what's going on. But awareness is really just noticing what's going on. You might notice that you like it or you don't like it. That's just something else that's being noticed. Yeah.
And this one felt much more emotional, for lack of a better word, than kind of breath-focused meditation.
You were aware of more emotion?
Yeah. Or just, I don't know if emotion is the right word, but feeling. I'm going to prescribe an emotion or a word or a label to it, but...
Is that okay? When you say it was more emotion to it, more feeling to it, does that mean that you were not focusing on something that kept you from them, or you just allowed them to be there among everything else?
I think I more allowed it to be there among this time was the first time I was more focusing on my breath, trying to get back to the breath and just kind of pushing them away.
Right.
This is what I'm feeling for now, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good observation, that when we don't have a single object to focus on, everything comes into view, or anything can come into view. Sounds, external sounds, internal feelings, thoughts, moods, emotions, sensations in the body. And it's not like we have to pick and choose which one to pay attention to. If you're aware, you'll just notice whatever happens to be occurring in the present moment. And it's okay. When it's not okay, that's when you really want to pay attention. Like, I don't like this, like sleepiness over there. You know, it's like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, that's when you really want to pay attention. What's being done? Yeah. Last comment before we break for the evening? Yeah?
I was curious if it's ever appropriate to willfully suspend your mindfulness. Like, I've heard a couple comments tonight about every time is a good time to be aware, and I can't really fathom that. It seems like there's moments in your life where awareness wouldn't necessarily make sense. I was just curious what you guys think about that.
Is there ever a good experience to not be aware of, right?
Well, yeah.
You want to know the truth?
Absolutely.
The mind is a perfect camcorder. It will record everything that's happening continually, and it has been forever. Now, just because we're not aware of it, doesn't mean that it isn't registered in the mind. Okay? So, yes, maybe there are some experiences that when they're happening, they're too painful, or they're too scary, or they're too shameful, or whatever, and we just go, it's not happening to me. Well, that's something that we, you know, a psychological mechanism that we have built in to kind of protect ourselves. But still, it's recorded in the mind. And if you keep practicing mindful awareness, it will come into view. It will.
I think, so one circumstance I can think of is like, it's being creative.
Creative.
Yeah, if you're being creative, somebody was talking about experiencing flow.
Yeah.
And that awareness could break that.
Yeah.
Worked over years honing this flow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not so great to try to monkey with that.
Right. Now I get what you're talking about. So you're talking about the flow. You get yourself into a creative flow, and you might not want to be aware of, but that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or you're at a movie, you're playing basketball, or like, you know, in some kind of intimate situation.
Yeah, like when you're at a movie, who wants to know that you're in a movie? You don't want to know that you're in a movie. You want to be in the movie, right? You don't want to be in the movie hall. Right? You know, that's the problem with mindful awareness. It ruins good movies. Or we say sometimes, mindfulness will ruin a good meal. You know, you can't just kind of eat with a lot of gusto and really enjoy it, really stuff yourself. It's like, mindfulness will pay attention. You can't do that anymore. So I'm gonna say something, and it may not make sense. It's not the awareness that's the problem there. It's the understanding you have of it that's the problem. Because if the wisdom says, "Oh, I'm in a creative flow here," you're not anymore. But it's awareness has to be there in the creative flow to be able to pick the creativity out of the flow and put it on the paper or the computer or the canvas or whatever it is. There has to be awareness. But there may not be the understanding. And I know it's a little hard to distinguish what the difference between awareness and understanding is, but that's the issue you're really talking about. Next week. We'll wrap that up next week. Thank you all very much. You know, next week is going to be the last of this class series.